What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the last preseason episode of season three on the What Do They Know podcast. Before we get into some preseason football or some regular season football,
right?
Week one just around the corner. Nick and Jeff back with you as always. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Still recuperating from the joke you had on me last week. I'm still mentally frustrated. I'm double checking all my notes today.
Yeah. yeah, that was a one-time thing. I got it out of my system, and
you just had to do it.
Yeah, we should be fine.
Well, I'm forever paranoid, so thank you.
Awesome. Well, we are going to break down. We have a packed agenda. We have a full episode, so bear with us if we run a little long today. We gotta finish our preseason breakdowns, right, with the NFC East and the AFC East. We have to rank our conferences 1 through 7 and pick our Super Bowl matchup and winner. And then we got to do our week one picks.
Perfect.
And our fantasy stuff as well.
Yeah.
We got a lot going on.
Yep.
So we are going to start with the breaking news of this week, the biggest headline that obviously stole the news in the NFL, and that's the trade of Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers from the Dallas Cowboys. Arguably the best defensive player in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, kind of give a brief backstory for those who may not be as involved. The story goes that he and Jerry Jones met back in like March. Allegedly, Micah called the meeting to go over leadership, is what he said, mm-hmm. right? And in the middle of a conversation that was only supposed to be about leadership, it turned into a conversation about his contract. And according to Jerry, they basically had like a handshake deal. This is what we're going to do. And Micah took the deal and the details back to his agent. And his agent basically said, heck no, we're not doing that. We want more. We can get more. And that really pissed Jerry Jones off.
Right.
And he basically, from there on, from everything I saw, kind of basically told him and his agent to kind of kick rocks.
Mm-hmm.
I truly did not believe he was going to get traded. I went on a rant, I want to say 2 episodes ago, about how everybody that demands a trade
stays put.
And not for nothing, I was right about every single other person this offseason except for him.
Trey Hendrickson, Terry McLaurin.
There was one or two others that, yeah. So, but not Micah. And so he Thursday night got traded to the Green Bay Packers. The Cowboys got 2 first-round picks. And Kenny Clark, a defensive tackle, in exchange for Parsons. What are your brief thoughts on that?
I mean, obviously, the whole situation is just, it feels unsalvageable, like, when you look at it from an outside perspective. But at the same time, you ask yourself, why so late for Jerry Jones? So why is this not? Why didn't this whole trade happen or take offers a long time ago, where you can you know, the salary cap wasn't as I guess hampered down on the teams as it is now, and now you just kind of force yourself to make the trade, make the move, or else he just becomes a distraction in your own locker room for the remainder of the year. But yeah, I mean, Kenny Clark, he's a longtime Packer. I think he's been there for like 9 years. He's good. He's not a household name like Micah Parsons, but I mean, he's stable. He's a Pro Bowl type of a defensive tackle. So I don't mind him as a player, but I mean, when you're giving up a franchise caliber player like Micah Parsons, it's a hard pill to swallow for the Cowboys Nation. And then plus 2 first-round picks, you never know what you're going to get out of that. Could be a bust, could be another Micah Parsons. You just never know. But to me, it just begs the question of where Jerry Jones is, I guess, as a GM for that franchise, because
he's horrible.
Terrible. He's made great draft picks, and don't get me wrong. I if there's any, like, surprisingly, if there's anybody that I trust with a draft pick, it might be Jerry Jones. To be honest with you, he hits on a lot of first round picks. But at the same time, when it comes to trades and negotiations and deals, like everything else outside the scouting department, I feel like he's definitely lackluster.
Yeah, so I have a lot of thoughts here, and kind of you touched on a lot of it. But as a GM and as an owner, the Cowboys I firmly believe the Cowboys will not win anything until, unfortunately, he is no longer part of the equation.
Right.
And whatever that means, right? Whether his son takes over or whether he unfortunately eventually passes away, mm-hmm. I don't think the Cowboys are going to go anywhere. I think that Jerry cares too much. And to his credit, they're the most valuable team in all of sports.
Right.
Right. So he's doing something right from a business perspective. But that's how Jerry operates. Everything for him is about the brand and mm-hmm. about growing the Dallas Cowboys.
Now, right.
I don't think it's necessarily centered around winning.
Right.
And so, you know, he's done this, what, the last 4 or 5 years where they've had a contract situation bleed into preparations for week one. I mean, last year, Dak signed his extension literally on the Sunday of week one. They had a 4:25 game. I think they announced the contract at like 11:30 in the morning. So, I mean, the year before that, it was CeeDee Lamb. The year before that, mm-hmm. it was Zeke. Like, yeah. Zach Martin. You mean, go on and on and on, and this happens with every single high-powered, high-talent name that they have. And this time, it just finally bit him in the butt.
Yeah.
So, as far as the compensation, my initial reaction was, okay, you know, he put them in a good spot to build going forward, right? They have 4 first-round picks over the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. But then as you sit there and think about it, the Packers are going to be good.
Yeah.
Right. So you're looking at, I want to say, like
lower 20s,
the 26 or below. You might as well call it. It's a glorified second round pick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, like you said, they are good at scouting. They are good at finding talent, and they better make sure that they hit on those. Mm-hmm. But it's not like you're getting a top 10 pick for the next 2 years.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's definitely a predicament. Maybe you can package those picks to another team for a player or something, but the Green Bay is not going anywhere in terms of you know, being terrible or anything like that. Not with the core that they have right now. Matt LaFleur, he's a great coach. I just don't see the value really overweighing. I mean, 2 first round picks is great, but and then Kenny Clark, but does that reach Micah Parsons sort of production? I don't think so. I feel like Jerry Jones forced himself to make this trade, and it's definitely a tough pill to swallow for everybody involved in Dallas. It's terrible.
Yeah, hopefully, I mean, from at least for them, the distractions are done for a while.
Right, and you'd hope so.
Now, I didn't tell you I was going to do this, and we've never, I don't think, done this before or talked about doing this, but do you now change where you think Green Bay is going to go this year? Do you want to change where you have them in your rankings?
Because I can't say.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Okay. Fair. I do not.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to leave them. I think I had them in second place in the division. I'm good with that.
Mm.
I know a lot of people are like, now they have to win the Super Bowl. I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, I don't say they have
to. Dan Orlovsky came out on ESPN, and he basically was like, it's Super Bowl or bust now.
Like why is it always like that? I never understand, because as soon as, like, I feel like this detracts GMs from making the big moves, because all of a sudden, if it fails and it blows up in your face, then all of a sudden your job's on the hot seat, and now all of a sudden you might get fired, and that's a little overblown.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right, I just wanted to give you that option.
Mm.
Take it or leave it. Now or never. But we will jump into our last set of divisions, which is the NFC and the AFC East. We will start in the NFC in Washington with the Commanders. So they were 12-5 last year. They lost to the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. Obviously had an amazing playoff run, came out of nowhere, took down the Bucks, took down the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels had a phenomenal rookie year. What are you looking at there?
I mean, I'm looking at their coordinators, and I mean, my coordinator of the year last year was Cliff Kingsbury, without a doubt.
Yeah.
He worked wonders for that franchise.
And he turned down head coaching interviews to stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like part of me feels like he's not ready for that stress again, especially after what he experienced with Kyler Murray in Arizona. But I mean, you bring that continuity with you. Yeah. You sign Terry McLaurin to the lucrative deal. So he's happy. I mean, Washington in general, offensively, are set. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that they're going to score points for the best of them. But it's their defense that makes me a little concerned.
Yeah, agreed.
They allowed the 18th most points last year on defense. Their offense had to bail them out quite a few times. It just becomes one of those things where can you protect Jaden Daniels enough? Obviously they traded for Laremy Tunsil. That was a good pickup.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they drafted Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon. That was a great pickup. So they're building around their offense. It's just about supplying the pieces on defense for Joe Witt, who is the defensive coordinator for Washington.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. The one question mark I had as far as offense is their running back situation. Mm. I thought it was a little surprising, and I'm not as tuned into Washington as maybe some people are, but I was very surprised when they traded Brian Robinson Jr. to the Niners.
Right.
So my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Austin Eckler is going to be the new starting running back.
Yeah.
Which good for him. He had a little bit of success in with the Chargers and now is getting that starting spot back. But that was surprising to me just because I thought that Robinson was a really good talent. It still is.
Right. Yeah. Obviously Austin Eckler is up there in age, and I don't think he's had a healthy season in a while. I feel like every time I remember him with the Chargers, he was getting injured one way or another.
Correct.
So I think it definitely goes to a sneaky sleeper. That I've seen in our drafts, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, a draftee out of the University of Arizona. I think he was a seventh round pick, so he wasn't, I guess, with a premium pick, but it seems like Washington has a lot of confidence in him, especially if he's going to be the backup to Austin Eckler, who, like I said, may not have a healthy season or might need us to split carries to survive the season healthily. So, they like I said, offensively, I'm not really concerned. I mean, they re-signed Zach Ertz. They traded for Debo.
Yeah.
Who, I mean,
I don't know what to expect there, man.
It's really, but at the same time,
Debo will be a really good test case because we always say that like the Niners are kind of like everybody there is a product of the system, and we'll see. We'll see if he's able to have success,
right?
In a different system with a different quarterback with a different head coach who's not as offensive savvy. Obviously,
Dan Quinn,
thank you, is a defensive-minded head coach.
Right.
So, he's not going to have a Shanahan there scheming things up for him. I'm really curious to see how he looks, and I'm very hesitant to put faith in him at least from a fantasy perspective.
Really? TBD. TBD for my room because I got like something on that like
is he your must have or your sleeper?
He's my sleeper.
He's my stay away.
I don't know. I think that's just how much faith I have in Kingsbury, to be honest with you.
All right, that's fair.
Because of I like it. Obviously, Washington is starving for kind of a wide receiver too.
Yeah.
So I feel like with Terry McLaurin already there, establishes the wide receiver one, and Kingsbury liking to dice up some special plays, I can see kind of a little bit of a bounce back for Debo.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We will jump over to the Dallas Cowboys, who we already kind of talked about in our opening segment with the Micah Parsons trade. They were 7-10 last year. Lost Dak halfway through the season to an injury. They have a new head coach with Brian Schottenheimer, who obviously was the offensive coordinator there, or at least part of the offense for the last couple of years.
It's hard to gauge interest in the Cowboys now that they traded Marco Parsons.
I think they're going to have a sneaky good offense. CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, Jake Ferguson, like those are some guys. So on offense, I think that they're going to be good, and I think that Dak is primed for a huge year, which is why I draft him in that league we're in.
Okay.
FYI.
I don't know. I'm not completely sold on Dallas, to be honest.
Oh, I'm not sold on Dallas as a team. I think they're going to be one of those teams that has a high powered offense that in some way, some form or fashion continues to shoot themselves in the foot. I still think they're going to have a losing record. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think that they will have a good offense. And I think that Dak is going to put up some big numbers.
Yeah. I mean, they draft offensive lineman is offensive guard, Tyler Booker. They have three Tylers on the offensive line now: Tyler Smith, Tyler Booker, and Tyler Guyton. So make of that what you will. But yeah, I mean, Javonte Williams there leading the backfield along with Miles Sanders. I mean, that's not a bad running back deal either. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens. It's a talented offense. Whether they can piece it together, especially with a leader like Michael Parsons, they're gone. I don't know what that locker room is like right now, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think anybody does.
It's going to be odd.
Especially all the talk the last week, like from Schottenheimer, from Dak, is like, it'll work itself out. Mm-hmm. He'll be here.
Right.
He'll be here on Thursday when we play the Eagles. Like, right. Everybody just kind of assumed it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to be back.
Right.
And I'm sure there had to be some level of just shock,
right,
that he actually got dealt.
Yeah. I don't know what you even feel at that point. Do you feel... Do you understand the move? Do you feel a little bit betrayed because all you're hearing from Jerry Jones is that he was going to pay the man, and that he was going to stay there for a while? But I don't know. But all I know is you're going to have to make up that production somehow on the defensive line, and I'm not sure where you're going to find it. Sam Williams, 30-year player, he only has 8.5 sacks over his first 2 years, and then they signed Dante Fowler Jr.
Yeah,
55.5 career sacks, which isn't bad. But I mean, Mike Parsons had 52.5 career sacks in half the time that Dante Fowler Jr. has been on the league. So it's going to be, they're going to be hard pressed, I feel like, to really challenge the quarterback. And then it might be long days for Trevon Diggs and their newly signed Deron Bland. Newly extended Deron Bland, I should say. So it's Dallas is just one of those Pandora boxes that I don't know what we're going to get.
We're going to get a lot of primetime games.
Oh, they will.
I can tell you that. Absolutely. I saw something when I was researching them, a little schedule tidbit that says they're like the first team ever to play on the first Thursday night game to open the season on Thanksgiving and also on Christmas. So we're going to get a lot of the Cowboys, whether we want it or not.
Right. Yeah, we're going to see them a lot. Yep.
So, all right. Jumping over to the defending champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. 14-3 last year, pretty much dominant in every category.
Yeah.
Offense, defense, special teams. You and I admittedly both slept on them for a very, very long time last year. I want to say I wasn't really on board even in through the championship game. I don't think I really understood how their offense was built. Like, to me, it was just a boring offense that was just bound to figure them out.
Yeah.
And it just never happened.
I think that's where talent and health kind of came into play, because A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, they all had a relatively healthy season, and then Jalen Hurts. So Dallas Goedert. Obviously, so it's not like they lost any of the components on the offense. So I feel like that's kind of what they steamrolled with. They were definitely a very more traditional offense because they relied on Saquon a lot. But I mean, when it comes to an offense that relies on the tush push, I guess whenever it comes to 3rd-and-1 and 4 and one chances, I feel like we kind of root against them in some sort of way, because it just becomes an unstoppable play, kind of like Kansas City and their whole dominance. It takes the unpredictability out of it, and then we just like, oh, okay, they're just going through the motions of what they do best. And I don't know, like I think that's where the boring concept comes from. But I mean, yeah, defensively they were like ranked second in points against. They had a team.
They did, but they also, like, I wrote down all the names of the guys on defense that they lost.
Yes,
and the list is very long. So
lengthy.
Brandon Graham,
retired.
Josh Sweat,
yep.
Bryce Huff,
yep.
James Bradbury, Isaiah Rogers, Darius Slay, CJ Gardner-Johnson. All those guys were on defense.
Yep.
So what is that going to look like now?
I do not
know. That's a big question mark. And then obviously on offense, Kellen Moore, who was the offensive coordinator, now is with the Saints as their head coach. So Kevin Petullo, who was on the staff already, got the bump up to the offensive coordinator, and you know, you're never quite sure what a new offensive coordinator, what a new scheme is going to look like. Obviously, they won the damn Super Bowl last year, so hopefully they're not changing too much.
Right.
And you know, they have no reason to.
Right.
So hopefully the scheme and everything is still designed around Saquon, around running the ball first like they were last year. But
yeah.
Always curious how a new offensive coordinator is going to blend with their quarterback and their stars.
Right. Yeah, there's no need to come in here and try to leave your mark or try to change things up to fancy your... They obviously have a winning recipe. So it's goes back to my elementary stuff. Keep it simple, stupid type of thing. So don't do anything exorbitant. You have Saquon Barkley there as your running back. Use him. You have A.J. Brown as your number one wide receiver. Use him. You have Dallas Goedert as your tight end. Use him. That it's literally not. It doesn't need to be complicated. There's no trick plays that you need to dial up every game. It's going to be one of those things where, yeah, it's the biggest question mark is going to be the defense. Obviously, three of those guys that you named were pass rushers: Brandon Graham, Bryce Huff, Josh Sweat,
who had an amazing game in the Super Bowl.
Yep. So it's going to be up to Nolan Smith Jr. and Mauro Jomo. So to
excuse me, who?
Yeah, exactly. Mauro Jomo.
Okay.
Yep. I had a double take on that name too when I looked up the depth chart. So,
all right.
So that's a name.
Love
that's
it.
A name now. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I think we're grasping at straws here, trying to find potential issues for the
right.
Eagles. I think that they're still going to be a very, very good team, a very dominant team. It's always the big thing with whenever you win the Super Bowl is how are you going to respond?
Yeah.
Are you still going to be hungry?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be exhausted from the offseason of partying and everything that comes with being the champs?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be... And how are they going to look?
Right.
So that's the big thing with the Eagles, but I still think they're going to be a very dominant team, and they're going to be right there when all said and done this year.
Yeah, repeating is such a difficult task. So, yeah, to your point, we always try to find reasons why they can't do it.
And I feel like now we've kind of almost got to the point where we, I don't want to say expect it or take it for granted, but the Chiefs just make it look so easy
yeah.
every year that it's like, oh, they were in it last year. Odds are they're going to be in it again when it's just not that easy.
Right. No. With Kansas City, you have probably a top five quarterback of all time leading the helm
in
Patrick Mahomes
easily,
and probably a top five coach of all time in Andy Reid as well. So I feel like they do make it a little bit easier probably. But I mean, if Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts kind of want to bring themselves into the conversation of saying, hey, we mean business as well, and we're trying to develop a culture here that says, hey, we're here at the end of the rope every single year. This is the year to prove it. Absolutely.
Love it. All right, we will finish the NFC East with the New York Giants. One of the biggest question marks for me this year, one of the teams that I'm just so curious about.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, side note, as a Jets fan, I'm supposed to hate them. same with being a Yankee fan, you're supposed to hate the Mets. I've never understood that.
Right.
I like the Giants. They're in a different conference, so when they're not playing the Jets, I want them to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm rooting for them this year. I feel like there's a ton of excitement around this team, at least locally. Maybe not in the national media, but listening to ESPN New York as much as I do, you know, checking social media for all the New York commentators and broadcasters, they're very excited about this team.
Oh, I would be too.
3-14 last year, so that gave them the third overall pick, which they used on Abdul Carter, the defensive end slash linebacker from Penn State, and bringing him in really fortified I would say it's the best defensive line in football.
Ooh.
So we're talking about Abdul Carter, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Brian Burns. That's insane.
That's a recipe for success.
Recipe for success. That is a defensive line that is going to keep you in a lot of games.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did that right. They also made a splash. They traded up in the first round, back into the first round, I should say, and got Jackson Dart, the quarterback out of Ole Miss, with the 25th overall pick. And I think that's really the big storyline here. Obviously, they signed Russell Wilson. He's going in as QB1. Wilson has looked fine in the preseason, but Dart has looked that much better.
Yeah.
I think if the Giants start to lose, how long is it going to be until we see Dart? Because Joe Shane and Brian Daboll need wins, and they need productivity to keep their jobs.
Yeah, and more. I feel like even more so than that, I feel like they need a brighter outlook on the future, and that's where Dart comes in.
Correct.
And if you can show that Dart is going to be that quarterback of the future, that Daniel Jones obviously did not end up being, then you resuscitate your own head coaching career if you're Brian Daboll. And I was looking at these moves, and I like every single one of them that the New York Giants have been doing. I mean, like you said, they have one of those scary defensive lines that scream top five, maybe sack leading defensive lines in the league.
Easily.
Yeah. And then you sign Paulson Adebo at cornerback position. You sign Javon Holland at safety position. It becomes that they're building through their defense. Obviously, there's still some questions on their offensive line, and that makes it even more so important that you put Russell Wilson out there to develop those guys a little bit more. And if anyone's going to take punishment, it's going to be Russell Wilson and not Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston there, I feel like he's just such an underrated personality as a whole for our locker room because he keeps everything loose.
Love him.
So do I.
I used to when he was at Florida State and he came up and he got drafted by the Bucs. Yeah. I was so annoyed by just the sight of him. And now that he's kind of been in the league a while and his personality has really shown.
Yeah.
He is a great dude.
Yeah.
He's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
He's a guy you want in your locker room.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as you realize that he's consistent with the personality and it's not like just a big show for him, you start appreciating the fact that he's just an absolute hilarious human being. It's not even intentional. It just happens. Like even the W's, he probably thought I was having like the fiercest, coolest thing ever, and it turns out to be like the most funniest thing. And now Jackson Dart's in on it. Yeah. That's the sort of personality you want to loosen up the locker room and make sure everyone stays not as focused, but at the same time loose and realize it's just a game and you're just out there playing ball. So Jameis Winston, I feel like, is an underrated signing for them, especially for a 2-year deal to make sure he's there to back up Jackson Dart if that's the way they go. Russell Wilson's only there for 1 year, so he's going to be an impediment.
He gone.
Yep, it's not like he's going to be an impediment next year. So I feel like all signs are pointing to Jackson Dart next year for sure. It might be halfway through this year or whenever that is. But yeah, I mean, offensively, you got Malik Nabers, last year's first round pick, Wandale Robinson, Tyrone Tracy Jr. as your running back. I mean, they're decent pieces, but I feel like you give Jackson Dart one more year and you stockpile maybe one more receiver or more of a number one running back caliber type of player, then you're really cooking now if you're New York.
Yeah, and the Giants really have kind of a thunder and lightning trio at running back. They got Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, two shifty guys that can make you miss. Mm-hmm. And then there's Cam Scataboo, who will just literally run you over.
Yeah.
Shout out Arizona State forks up.
Yep, we had to bring him up.
Fourth round pick. I hope he has an awesome year this year. But
yeah, absolutely.
Having said all that, right, all positive, very excited about the Giants, think they could be really good. I'm just going to read to you their first 8 weeks of the schedule.
Oh, no.
And this is why I cannot get on board.
Okay.
Right. And schedules are what they are. It's paper, right?
Right.
You got to go out there and play the games. But starting at week one, at the Commanders, then at the Cowboys, then home to the Chiefs, home to the Chargers. Then they have a break. They go at the Saints. Sorry, buddy.
No.
And then they go Eagles, at the Broncos, at the Eagles.
Ugh.
Dude, that is a brutal schedule. What is that? 3-5 at best?
Yeah.
Because I could see him beating the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him beating the Saints.
Right.
And nope, that's actually really it.
Yeah.
That's what is that? 2-6?
Yeah. The Denver games.
So that's why I think that we could see Dart sooner rather than later, because as much as we are excited about this team, that's a brutal, brutal schedule. And I don't quite understand this, because I thought the opponents that you play are kind of somewhat based on where you finished last year. Like, I know if you finished in third place in your division, you play another division's third place team.
Yeah, your own conference's third places.
Yeah, so like they were horrible last year. So how did they get such a tough schedule? Who did they piss off?
Well, do they probably have the AFC West? So Chargers in Kansas City.
Yeah. Right? So and the Broncos.
And the Broncos. So that's AFC West. You obviously you have a tough division with the Philadelphia there in Washington.
It's brutal, man.
Yeah, that's not that's rough.
Yeah.
And I the Saints is probably the last place teams right there. That's your fourth place.
So that's why team. As much as I want to be excited about them, I can't quite get on board.
Right. So yeah, no, I can't blame you. That's a gauntlet right there.
Yeah. So all right. We will go ahead and pick the division winner and rank them 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. I will go ahead and kick it off. I have the Eagles winning the division still.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Commanders finishing in second,
okay.
Getting a wild card spot. Mm-hmm. I have the Cowboys third.
Okay.
And then I have the Giants just because of what we just talked about, mm-hmm. Finishing in fourth in the division.
Okay. Yeah, so I got Philadelphia and Washington, top two. Philadelphia won the division. This is where we part ways. Okay. New York Giants, third. I feel like they're going to have a very sneaky good year.
Okay. Maybe, I hope they do.
Yeah, maybe the back end of that schedule is a little bit lighter, and they sneak a few wins in there. And then Dallas coming up the rear. I just don't know where they are as mentally as a franchise, to be honest with you. I feel like there's going to be a lot of questions, especially if they go to on some sort of losing streak. I think that locker room might tear itself apart.
Okay. Yep. All right. We will do our fantasy must-haves, our sleeper pick, and then our person that we're staying away from, specifically in the NFC East. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you kick it off.
Okay. So my must-have is Malik Nabers. So right there.
Interesting.
For New York. I feel like he's going to get the lion's share of those targets there. And now that he has a competent set of quarterbacks. Obviously, Daniel Jones had his shortcomings last year, and he still put up a monster season for his rookie year. So with Russell Wilson and potentially Jackson Dart throwing him the ball, I feel like there's nothing but positive things going Malik Nabers' way on that one.
Okay.
Stay away. This is going to surprise a lot of people, but A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
I just do not trust a lot.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I don't trust a lot in that passing game for Philadelphia. Like we talked about, they run the tush push quite a bit, so that boils down the playbook quite a bit. Saquon is going to run the ball probably 80% of the first downs, so it limits the opportunities he has. And obviously with Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith commanding their fair share of targets because they're more than adequate receivers, it limits AJ Brown's upside, I feel like. So I'm hesitant with A.J. Brown on that one. Staying away.
Okay.
And sleeper, as we talked about earlier, Debo. I feel like if anyone's going to resurrect his career the way that he was with San Francisco, it's going to be Cliff Kingsbury. If it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. And I just feel like that's it for Debo's career almost. Maybe he'll just be one of those slot guys as a wide receiver three for the rest of his career until he hangs him up. But if he's going to resurrect any sort of portion of fantasy upside, it's going to be with Cliff Kingsbury.
Okay, I like it.
Yep.
So I purposely did not pick Saquon as my must-have because I assumed that you were.
Hmm.
So, I mean, if he's available, I'm going to say the obvious and say that you need to get Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to throw out another name, I wrote down CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
I'm telling you right now, I really feel that the Cowboys offense as a whole is going to be sneaky good. And CD is going to be a big part of that. Him and Dak have shown what they can do already.
Right.
I stay away. I'm, you know, sorry, buddy, but I'm staying away from Debo. I just don't trust it. He's looked super slow in the videos that we've seen that have been on social media.
Yeah.
And then my sleeper is Dak Prescott. I think that, you know, not to sound like a broken record, but I think that they're going to do some stuff on offense. He's still somewhat of a mobile quarterback, even, you know, he's getting up there in age as far as the NFL is concerned. I think he's 32 right now, 33, but he still has that mobility part of his game, and he's going to have weapons to throw to all over the field. So look for Dak to have a big year.
Okay.
All right, jumping over to the AFC East, our last division to break down, but certainly not least.
Yeah, this is what you build up for.
Yeah. Yep. We will start with the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
They were 13-4 last year. They lost to Kansas City again in the AFC Championship game. They did bring in some pieces on offense. They signed Elijah Moore. They signed Josh Palmer at wide receiver. So I love that. They tied up some of their guys. They re-signed James Cook. They re-signed Khalil Shakir, who has become a really sneaky good weapon for Josh Allen. They signed Joey Bosa after he was released from the Chargers. Really, quite honestly, I don't know that anything that we say is going to matter about the Bills.
No.
Like,
I feel like it's the same story every
how
year.
Can I wrote down one note besides what I just read to you, and it was, how can they get past Kansas City?
Right. Honestly, my concerns were mentality. Because when you meet Kansas City in the playoffs, what do you do?
Yeah. The regular season does not matter for this team.
Yeah.
We've talked about that at length. Every year, it seems they beat Kansas City in the regular season, and then they go and they lose to them in the playoffs when it matters. So
right.
I don't know what they have to do. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think that it's got to happen eventually.
you would hope so.
I really kind of feel like nothing that we talk about now matters until January.
Yeah, no, I mean, Buffalo is going to be Buffalo.
They're going to win the division. They have New England will be better.
Yeah.
Right. We'll talk about them in a minute, but they still have one of the easiest divisions in football, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. No, I feel like it's the same story. It's been the same story for the past like 4 years for Buffalo, or at least ever since Josh Allen made his mark in the NFL. You get to the playoffs, you win your division, it's going through the motions, but when it comes to Kansas City, and whether that's in Buffalo or in Kansas City, can you show up and make that game-changing play and make that final play, make that final stop if you're Buffalo's defense? And I feel like for the past, three seasons, they just have not been able to do it. And it's unfortunate for Buffalo. I'm rooting for them and hoping they can finally pass over the hump. But it's just heart-wrenching to talk about Buffalo, to be honest with you. I'm starting to feel the burn.
Yeah, and it's tough because, like, I feel like talking about them this way is downplaying how good I expect them to be.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be phenomenal this year. I think that they are going to have a very easy time in their division. And I think it's all going to be about what they can do in January. Like we've talked about how I think that this is the year that the Bengals kind of put it all together. I kind of feel very much the same about the Bills. Other than the one question mark that I don't have an answer for is how they're going to beat Kansas City. But I think they're going to be awesome this year.
Yeah, I mean, they've been...
We're talking about them so negatively, right?
I know.
But they're going to be good.
Yeah, they're going to win like 13, 14 games. Yeah. And like that's a great season. Yeah. But at the same time, they've done that for the past 3 years. Yeah. It's time to take the next step. And we've been waiting for them to take the next step. And they just cannot seem to do it.
Nope.
And I don't know. I would love to talk about the Bills and how good they are. But at the end of the day, does it become... almost like you're provoking hope for in a hopeless situation almost. And until I see them beat Kansas City, it's just hard on me to really feel that level of excitement that I do some of these other teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So we will jump over to the Miami Dolphins. They were 8-9 last year. What are you seeing there?
I honestly do not know. Miami is an enigma to me, and I have no clue what to even make of any of it, to be honest with you. Obviously, you got Tua as your returning quarterback. Tua's probably like a concussion away from hanging it up, to be honest with you.
100%.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised that he's still the starting quarterback for Miami, to be honest with you, after what, 4 or 5 concussions now, it's absurd to me. I don't get it. But I mean, obviously you have Devon Achane there, your running back position. You still have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. Those pieces haven't changed at all. But at the same time, it's like I don't even know where to even go with Miami. I don't know their identity anymore. I really don't.
So I think. And this is not a hot take. Like, if you listen to sports radio, a lot of people think this. I think they're going to be a dumpster fire this year.
Yeah, could be. Potentially, yeah.
You know, everybody, the big thing is the potential chemistry or lack thereof between Tyreek Hill and his teammates, specifically Tua. You know, last year after the Week 18 loss to the Jets, Tyreek Hill basically went on a rant in the locker room and said he has to get up out of here. Like, basically that he was done with Miami.
Right.
And then, you know, he retracted his statement in the offseason, said he loves Miami, blah, blah, blah. But Tua was very open about it in training camp about how they're trying to rebuild their relationship after that. Like he even said, he's like, that's not something that you can just come in and say sorry for and start over. Like you got to repair, basically saying that you're quitting on your team.
Right.
And now the season is here. And who knows how they're going to look.
Yeah.
I think Mike McDaniel, this is a make or break year for Mike McDaniel and Tua.
I feel like Mike McDaniel is going to be one of those Cliff Kingsbury situations where he steps away from the game for like a year and then he comes back and becomes this incredible offensive coordinator. And I agree with you. This might be Tua's last year as a starting quarterback, and this might be Mike McDaniel's last year as a head coach. Maybe it's just too much for Mike McDaniel, especially with the personalities that he has there in Tyreek Hill. I mean, that that's a lot to overcome, especially for a head coach. But I mean, overall, I just do not know where this team is going to go. I try to look at it from a fantasy perspective or anything. I just don't see anything positive. I just don't.
I mean, you need Devon Achane to be healthy and mm-hmm. have another amazing year,
yeah.
which he's nursing a calf injury right now. I praying to God that he plays, just because I drafted him in one of our leagues. So I really need him to be healthy. Him and Tyreek Hill. Jalen Waddle, I feel like, got the contract, got the big money, and really hasn't been super consistent.
Right.
I don't know, man. I just think that they're in for a long year.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. I'm Darren Waller's your tight end. He just coming.
Who just came off the couch?
Yeah. Your cornerback.
Yeah, we talk about the fact that they traded Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey? Did we talk about that already?
No.
And then they traded their best defensive player
uh-huh.
and their tight end, who had a phenomenal year last
yep.
year,
yep.
For Minkah Fitzpatrick from the Steelers, who didn't he ask out of Miami originally?
I believe so.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure he wanted money, and he ended up getting traded to Pittsburgh. Well, guess what, buddy? You're back in Miami.
You got your money. No, welcome back.
You know, I don't know what they're going to look like on defense. I just think that
there's cornerbacks, Rasul Douglas, who is that the same Rasul Douglas that's been in the league for like a minute?
He was with Buffalo last, I think, 2 years. Yeah. Oh,
and then your other cornerback is Storm Duck.
Excuse me?
Storm Duck.
That's not a real name. I'm not falling for that.
You got Jalen Waddle and Storm Duck on your team. Stop it.
All right.
Just stop.
So I don't know, man. I think that at the same time, talking out the completely other side of my mouth, it would, like, this could be the team that makes us look really stupid. Like, out of everything that we've said in the last 4 weeks leading up to the season, this could be the team that make us literally look like the title of our show. Like, what do they know?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Because they have potential. We've seen what they can be, right?
Especially offensively.
Two seasons ago, we saw them put up 70 points in a game.
Yeah.
We've seen Devon Achane. We've seen Tyreek Hill. We've seen how accurate Tua is.
Yeah.
But for some reason, everybody has this thought that it's going to come crumbling down this year.
Right.
And I tend to agree.
Right.
But at the same time, if they go and rattle off 9 or 10 wins, it wouldn't surprise me.
I'm putting in my bet now. Storm Duck, Defensive Player of the Year.
Love it.
Love it.
Okay. All right. We will move over to the New England Patriots. 4-13 last year. A lot of changes with New England.
Mm.
A lot of people have them as one of their quickly rising teams
yep.
In the league. So the fourth overall pick, they took Will Campbell, offensive lineman out of LSU, who apparently is just like, he's like a dog. Like, that's the word I kept hearing about him, was like, he's like a guy in the trenches that you just don't want to mess with.
Right.
Which I feel like everybody needs one of those like mean offensive linemen on their team.
Yeah.
And then second round pick, I think he was only the second or third pick in the second round. So really high up there. The running back from Ohio State, Trevion Henderson, who has looked amazing in the preseason.
Mm.
And everybody thinks that he's going to very quickly, if he hasn't already, take over the running back one spot from
Ramondre Stevenson.
Yep. So, you know, a lot of things that people are excited about in New England. Obviously, they brought in Mike Vrabel. They signed Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing here?
So everything we talked about the Giants, about loving every single one of their moves, the Patriots, I double love their moves,
agreed.
To be honest with you. They had 11 picks in the draft,
yeah.
11. So they're not short of youth, a youth movement coming in. They signed a lot of guys in the offseason, Josh Dobbs to back up Drake May, Stephon Diggs, as you mentioned, Mac Hollins. They signed
Morgan Moses on the offensive line.
Yep. Melvin Williams, and then Carlton Davis to shore up your cornerback position. That's a nice haul.
Yeah, their defense is going to be very good
this
year.
That's a nice haul for us. And with Mike Vrabel leading the charge there, oh, absolutely. I am all aboard for that Cinderella team right there.
Yeah, he's a culture guy. You can just tell right away that they're not going to be the losing bottom of the league team that they were the last 3 or 4 years. They're going to be they're going to be pesky. They're going to be a team that you don't want to play. I feel like when now looking at Vrabel and the pieces that they did and how they improved the defense, they're the team that you look at and you know you're going to walk out of that game banged up and bruised. And so I unfortunately really like what they did. And obviously they brought Josh McDaniels back, offensive coordinator, to work with Drake May, and we know what he can do as an OC. Terrible head coach, but a good offensive coordinator. So yeah, they've done all the right things. You know, they've been quiet. Vrabel hasn't really said a lot. They haven't been in the spotlight. And I think that they're gonna have a big jump this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, offensively, maybe they could use a little bit more pieces. Drake May obviously showed a lot for a very, I guess, talentless group, for lack of a better word. There's just nothing shiny about that offense last year. But Drake May definitely stood out as a franchise level quarterback.
He gave them the hope that they needed to make all of those moves.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this definitely progresses the timeline for this team. And I mean, the only question for me is Stephon Diggs still the number one receiver that he can be?
Yeah.
Obviously, he can be a little bit more of a mental challenge for quarterbacks or for head coaches. But I feel like Mike Vrabel will be on top of that.
Yep. All right. Last but certainly not least, we got the New York Jets, 5-12 last year.
So how you gave me the stage, this is all you.
So I am so not sure what we're going to see. Like I am. I'm just so, you know how you said that the Dolphins are like an enigma for you? Like I truly, truly, truly don't know what to expect. I'm trying so hard to guard my heart and my hopes.
Yeah.
Based off of the last 2 years.
Here, read that right here where I say concerns for the Jets.
What does that even say?
Identity?
Identity.
Oh,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
So they're gonna have a new culture, right? They brought in Aaron Glenn as their head coach. You've already seen if you heard him talk or heard any of the press conferences, that it's different.
Yeah.
Right? It feels different. They haven't been in the news. That was on purpose. He's doing things purposely to show that things are different. Like there's no more leaks that Aaron Rodgers used to always complain about. He waited until the very last minute to release their 53-man roster. Nobody knew who was getting cut, who was staying. Everything he answers in press conferences is it's my decision.
Right.
It's my decision. Right?
Right.
He's coming off a little abrasive, but I think he's doing that to show, because everybody said the last couple of years, Woody Johnson's the ones calling all the shots.
Right.
Right. The coach doesn't have a voice. Saleh can't do anything. And I think Aaron Glenn is kind of overcompensating a little bit to show that he's in charge. But I think ultimately that's going to be a good thing. So I'm excited for the culture of the team. I love the potential of Justin Fields. When they signed him to a 2-year deal, I was very excited because there's so much potential.
Yeah.
He's a freak athlete. You saw what he could do in the first preseason game, scramble for that 15-yard touchdown run. He's going to bring an element that they haven't had in a very, very long time. In my lifetime, they have not had a mobile athletic quarterback.
I can't even think of one. Yeah.
The big thing is can he throw the ball?
Yeah.
He did not show that in the preseason at all. He only played 3 drives in fairness, but like they ran the ball almost every single time. That's going to be their identity.
Running the ball.
They are going to be a running team. So if you have a chance to get Breece Hall or quite honestly, even Braylon Allen, I think he's going to overtake Hall as RB1 eventually.
Oh.
He's drawn comparisons from his peers as the next Derrick Henry.
Oof.
Just his size, his speed. It's his second year in the league.
Right.
I fully expect him to have an amazing year.
Yeah.
But one of their drives against the Giants, like they had a 12 play drive and they ran it 11 times. So they're making it very, very well known what they want to do as a team.
Yeah.
They want to run the ball.
Yeah. They drafted an offensive tackle with their first round pick. Membo.
They've done that the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Their offensive line now is arguably, people are saying, top 10 in the league because the last 2 or 3 years they've invested that first round pick in their O line.
Yeah. They definitely built up their trenches. And I mean, Justin Fields is definitely going to reap the rewards on that one. Obviously the biggest question mark was Justin Fields' arm ever since he came into the league.
Yeah.
Obviously he had the same question marks in Chicago. That might be the question mark that held him below Russell Wilson on the depth chart in Pittsburgh. But he's finally getting, I feel like, a legitimate shot here with the New York.
This is the first time that people are literally just saying, this is your team.
Yeah.
You're the starter.
Right.
Like, go, like, take it and run with it.
Right.
And see what happens. So I'm really excited for him. I'm excited for the defense. They brought in Steve Wilks. He's a great defensive coordinator. They're getting Jermaine Johnson back on the defensive side of the ball. He's a defensive end who he tore his Achilles week two last year. Oof. So he really wasn't a factor at all.
Right.
He looked bigger. He looked stronger. Will McDonald, this is his third year, and people are saying that he's going to have double-digit sacks. They traded, sneaky big trade, I thought, at least for a Jets fan. They traded for Harrison Phillips, the defensive tackle from Minnesota.
Okay.
Who's been in the league forever.
Yeah.
And he basically said the other day, like, his sole purpose is to take double teams away from Quinn Williams so that he can bust up the run and bust up the offensive line.
Right.
So love that. I really don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect. They got to figure out their wide receiver too. They have obviously Garrett Wilson, and then they have guys like Alan Lazard, Josh Reynolds. Mm-hmm. They drafted Arian Smith from Georgia, fourth round pick, who's a speedster, who has been great in camp. But they don't have a solidified wide receiver too. I keep hearing that they are kicking the tires on trading for Jacoby Myers. That would, who knows? And then penalties. They were atrociously undisciplined last year. They had, I think, possibly the most penalties in the league. But in the preseason so far, it's been no different. They've been very bad with penalties. So I don't know, man. I'm optimistic. I think they could win anywhere from 6 to 9 games.
Okay.
I do. I think that it wouldn't be surprising if they are on that 5 to 6 win total, but then it also wouldn't surprise me if they are right there in December and actually playing meaningful games.
Interesting.
So I don't know. I'm trying to just guard my heart.
Cautiously optimistic. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
No, I'm going to week one. I'm going to 3 games this year so far.
Yeah,
I'm going to week one against the Steelers.
Yeah.
I'm driving up to Baltimore when they play at Baltimore. I got a buddy who sold me his tickets pretty cheap.
Ooh.
And then we bought tickets to the last game of the season at Buffalo. Week 18, we're going to freeze our butts off.
Yeah.
But it's the last regular season game at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah, that might be a snow game.
Yeah, 100%. So that's what I'm hoping for.
That's what I'm hoping for.
So I'm excited, man. I love football. I love when the Jets are at least somewhat competitive. They give me something to look forward to. And I hope that they at least can build and set the foundation for the next few years.
Yeah. I mean, if you develop the players even outside of Justin Fields, at least it sets you up for your quarterback away sort of scenario, where maybe signing or drafting a quarterback changes the whole direction and of your franchise. And I feel like the Jets have always been QB starved for a very long time.
My entire life.
Yes. But I mean, defensively, they know how to build a defense, and offensive line, I mean, it's usually hit or miss, and that sometimes might deal with the struggles of the quarterback. But at the same time, it's you have talent there with Breece Hall and Braylon Allen and Garrett Wilson. And there's no reason to panic for pieces there. It's just about finding the final piece, and it might be Justin Fields.
I hope so.
Yep.
I hope it is. All right, that wraps up the AFC East. So we'll go ahead and pick 1 through 4. I will let you go first.
Okay, so I got Buffalo winning the division. Yep. I think we're
pretty
both,
easily, yeah. I think, right?
Yeah, it's not going to be too much of a competition. But number two, I actually got New England. I'm buying into all the moves that they did and Drake May's progression there. Third, I got the Jets. And then fourth, I got Miami just imploding.
The same. The exact same.
Perfect. Look at that.
Easy enough. Next. All right. We will pick our must-have, our stay-away, and our sleeper picks for the AFC East. Mm-hmm. So my must-have, I went with Devon Achane. Okay. I think in a PPR league, if he's healthy, he's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a 20 to 25-point guy every week.
Yeah.
He has 5 to 10 catches every game as a running back.
Yeah.
And that's huge. So yeah. I love his potential. I'm staying away from Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
He tore his ACL. He's coming off a torn ACL.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got a second year quarterback who he showed signs, right? We think he's going to be good, but there's no guarantee.
Right.
He's got to put it. He's got to put it all together. So yep. I'm a little leery there.
Okay.
But on the flip side, I'm all in as a sleeper on Trevion Henderson. He's my sleeper. I think that he is going to, if he doesn't start week one, he will within the first 2 or 3 weeks. He returned a kickoff return for a touchdown in the preseason, so he's got that option as well. I think he's just going to be, it wouldn't surprise me if he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Ooh, high praise. Okay. Well, my must-have is James Cook. I feel like that's a pretty safe bet for there in Buffalo. They didn't do anything revolutionary at the wide receiver position. They obviously still have Khalil Shakir, but it's not pieces that are brand new or are going to bring any new schemes into the offense. So James Cook, I feel like, is that guy at the running back position there. My stay away, it's pretty tall. Simply because I
100% agree.
Simply because of Braylon Allen. I feel like there's too much potential there.
He's going to get traded. I truly believe he's going to get traded because the Jets don't want to say it, but they're all in on Braylon Allen. They are all in on him.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you have Justin Fields, who does run the ball. Probably half the time he does go back to pass.
That's a great pick. That's a great pick.
Oh, thank you, good sir. And then sleeper, this is digging down in the trenches, but Kyle Williams, he's someone that the Patriots drafted out of Washington State. He had 14 receiving touchdowns last year for Washington State. And I feel like if Drake May is going to develop some sort of chemistry with anyone, it's going to be with Kyle Williams. Obviously, you said with Stephon Diggs coming off an ACL, there's questions about if he's the number one receiver, if he still has those capabilities. And Kyle Williams being the receiving threat that he was last year, I think he has potential there as a sleeper.
Okay, I love it. Nope. Never heard of him, but I love it. All right, so now the fun part.
Yep.
The best part of our preseason shows. So we are going to pick 1 through 7 for each conference. We're going to rank our division winners, pick our wild card teams, and then we are going to pick our Super Bowl predictions. So which conference you want to do first?
Let's do the NFC.
NFC. Yep. All right. I will let you go first.
So number one seed, I got Detroit repeating as the number one seed in this conference. Number two, I got Philly. Three, Tampa Bay. Number four, I got the Arizona Cardinals.
I forgot you have them winning the division.
Yeah, the Cardinals.
Okay.
Yeah. And for my wild cards, I got the Packers being the number one wild card seed there. Washington right behind them.
Yep.
And then number seven, I just agonized, but I went with Minnesota. I feel like...
So you have the Rams missing the playoffs completely.
I do. So I had...
That's shocking.
Yeah, it was down between the Rams and Minnesota.
Okay.
The one thing I couldn't talk myself out of it, it was... Obviously, it came down to Kevin O'Connell and Sean McVay.
Yeah.
And obviously, Sean McVay has a lot more pedigree there, but I just look at it as Minnesota coming off a 14-win season and just missing the playoffs completely the next year is just...
Yeah, it's kind of hard to fathom.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know. I felt like with Matthew Stafford's maybe age and maybe health might be coming in a factor, I just went with Minnesota on that one.
Okay. All right. So my number one seed is the Eagles.
Okay.
I think they're going to just continue to be dominant. Number two is the Rams. That was actually tough for me. I wanted to pick the Rams number one. I really did.
Really?
Yeah. Number three, I have the Lions. And then four, I have Atlanta winning the South. So they're my four seed.
Yep.
Five is the Packers. Six is Commanders, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And then seven, I have the Cardinals
squeaking
in. So very similar. I think what did we picked? Two different division winners, right? I picked the Rams and Atlanta, and you picked Cardinals and Tampa.
Yep.
I almost had Tampa as a wild card team, but we already talked about this. Two teams coming out of the South.
Yeah.
I couldn't wrap my head around that.
Yeah. So Atlanta was that distant third team between Minnesota and the Rams for me. But at that point, I was like, I'm not going to put two South teams on there. I couldn't do it.
Yep. All right. So moving over to the AFC, I'll go first. I feel like you're going to be surprised.
Okay.
But this came very, very easy to me.
Really?
Very easy. So number one, I have the Bills.
Okay.
Number two, I have the Bengals.
Okay.
Number three, I have the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Four, Texans.
Okay.
And then my wild card is Ravens, Chargers, Broncos.
Really? Okay.
Very, very easy to me. Like, I didn't even stop to him and haw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all in this year on the Bills and the Bengals.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm with you with Buffalo. The number one seed. That's where I got them. Kansas City is the number two seed. I had Baltimore winning that division, so they're my number three seed, and then Houston running out the division winners at number four. Cincy being the top wild card seed there. Denver at six. And then I actually have New England sneaking in into the playoffs.
I
wanted to spice it up a little bit on that one. New England.
Interesting. So does that mean? So no Chargers.
No Chargers.
Really?
No Chargers.
I actually think the Chargers are going to be better than they were last year.
Potentially. I just looked at everything New England was doing.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in Drake May.
It's not a crazy pick. Yeah. A lot of people are saying that they're going to be right there.
Yeah. And if they can beat up maybe, I don't know, a depleted maybe Miami team, if things go the course that we think they
you
are.
You can say the Jets too. It's
fine. I don't want to say it, but all okay. Right. Thank you. And the Jets maybe perhaps 2-0 there. I mean, it gives a good little boost for New England. I feel like.
Yep. All right. The time has come.
The time has come.
Super Bowl picks. I don't like my pick.
I went Cinderella for both conferences.
Okay, you go. I like this.
Okay, so I literally went Green Bay versus Denver.
What the?
Yeah.
Denver?
So I was looking at everything, and obviously you know my love for Bo Nix and Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And their defense is just stout.
Yep.
Their defense is incredible.
Have you noticed in the two drafts that we've done so far, I've made a point to draft them very early?
Yes, I have seen that because I'm like, when's next going to pick Denver?
That is completely on purpose.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And I feel like there's just something about that defense and that offense potentially that just it rubs me the right way type of thing. Stop it. Stop it. I knew you were going to come with that reaction.
I'm just going to leave that alone. Oh, good goodness. For you, buddy.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. clip that one.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, I obviously Buffalo. Oh, no. He's still going.
Okay. All right. Reel it in.
Keep it professional.
Yep. Reel it in.
But, yeah, Buffalo.
Okay. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
All right.
Yeah. Buffalo, we've talked about them. It's hard to have the faith there. Kansas City,
this is the year that Kansas City falters.
Yeah. I feel like this is the decline of Kansas City, and it was hard for me to put them in the Super Bowl. Baltimore, that's still one of the things that I don't know. I feel like my first round matchup is literally Baltimore versus Denver. And I feel like that's going to come down to the final play. And I feel like Denver might pull that out.
Yeah.
I feel like Denver might squeak that one out. And then, Houston, since it just became one of those things where since I don't trust Cincy's defense.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I don't trust Houston's, I guess, overall team. It's just they're in a very weak division.
Yeah.
And then, obviously New England rounding out that conference. Denver, to me, is the most complete team, potentially.
Okay.
In that conference.
I like it. So all right.
That's where I got.
So you went Cinderella. I went the complete opposite.
Mm.
And I actually have both of my one seeds making it. So I have the Bills and the Eagles.
Okay.
And I have the Bills finally doing it this year.
Okay.
So the Bills are my champs. I know we talked about neither of us know how they're going to get past Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
But it's going to happen this year.
Yeah, no, I wanted to go Buffalo.
I think, and we didn't talk about this, but I think that if there's going to come a point very quickly if they don't, that Sean McDermott is going to be gone and the Bills are going to they're going to become a completely different team.
Yeah.
So this has to be the year that they finally are able to get it done.
Yeah. I felt that should have happened 2 years ago, to be honest with
my you. Only concern. And I'm not trying to speak this into existence, especially people might think I am because of Jets as a Jets fan. The Bills, the last 4 or 5 years have been very healthy.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me nervous because it seems like it catches up with everybody at some point. So that's I really hope they don't have some massive injury that derails their season. That's mm-hmm. my one concern with Buffalo mm-hmm. is can they stay healthy? Because if they can, I think they're going
to
make it.
Yeah. Like I say, it comes down to the mentality that you have come in January. And I don't know if Buffalo has that mentality with Sean McDermott. I just do not. I can't trust it.
I hope they do.
I wanted to put Buffalo in my Super Bowl and that's why I agonized about this pick for the longest of times. But I just could not pull the trigger for Buffalo. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
All right. I love it.
Yep.
So last but not least, we will wrap up. We have our week one picks.
Oh, wait, I didn't pick my winner.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Green Bay.
Okay.
So even though it's I'm against the whole Super Bowl or bust thing, it kind of worked out that way.
All right. Yeah. I like it. So we are doing it a little different this year. Not totally different, but so we always pick a lock. We pick an upset. And then we pick a game of the week, which we pick that game together. So that one will be the same game. But this year, for our locks, we used to just do them straight up, right? We think this team's going to beat this team. This year, if we're picking them as a lock, that means they have to cover their spread, right? Which should be pretty easy if we're that convinced they're our lock for the week, which it was actually Jeff's idea. I think it's a great idea. I'm historically very bad at picking spreads, so we'll see how this goes.
But it's just more of a challenge.
It is. It's 100% more of a challenge. It's more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I'll kick it off. So my lock is the Bengals over the Browns.
Okay.
Bengals are favored by 5.5. I think they're easily going to win by a touchdown in that game.
Yeah.
So I feel really confident about this. Homer pick right here. I'm taking the Jets over the Steelers week one. As my upset, it's Steelers are favored by 2.5.
Okay.
It's in New York, so they're favored on the road, which kind of pisses me off a little bit. And then our game of the week, we agreed it's going to be the Sunday night game, the Bills and the Ravens. And I'm actually taking the Ravens, even though I just picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
I think that the Ravens are going to come out hungry after the way they lost last year in the divisional round by a dropped 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
And I think that the Ravens are going to win, but the Bills are going to have a better year.
Right. Yeah, I like it. Well, my upset is the Panthers over the Jags. We talked about Bryce Young's career trajectory is going upscale now, and how the Jags are probably going to be a dumpster fire for this year. Somehow the Jags are favored by 3 points.
Yeah,
in this
that
game.
Really surprises me.
Yeah. So
it's in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my lock is the Patriots over the Raiders.
Yeah.
It's and that surprises me too. I believe they play in New England on that one too.
I think so.
So and that's also another negative 3-point spread.
And that's a West Coast team coming all the way to the East Coast. And I'm pretty sure that's a 1 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah.
Which never bodes well
for the West Coast team. Yep. So I like I said, I got New England sneaking into the playoffs on the AFC side. So I got the Patriots over the Raiders there as my lock. And then game of the week, I also have the Ravens over the Bills.
Okay.
I think they'll start off hot. The Ravens will.
Yep. I like it. Well, that will do it. That was a full show.
Yeah.
Lot of good stuff. I'm pumped. Cannot wait for week one.
Nope.
Like we talked about, I'm actually going to the Jets Steelers game. So we are going to record our week one episode next Monday during Monday Night Football. I believe it's the Bears and the Vikings is the Monday night game. So that should be a good one. We'll go through week one. We'll preview week two and break it all down for you as we always do. If you guys have any headlines, anything that happens on Sunday that you guys want us to talk about, we can do that now because we have a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah.
So hit us up on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you guys want, you know, send us text and we will make sure and cover it. But hope you guys enjoyed and we will see you next week for week one.
Yeah. See you later.
We want to hear from you. Send in your questions, comments, and frustrations weekly to give the guys something to talk about. Make sure to follow us on our social media pages, and thanks for listening to the What Do They Know podcast.